Welcome to this morning service and please find a seat. We had just read from Joshua chapter 1. We memorized that most precious verse about the book of the law that God has given and had given to Joshua. Please remember, this commandment given by God to Joshua after the death of Moses was not given to a child or to a young person. How old was Joshua when he received that instruction? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. How old was Joshua? Can you make a guess? Was he a teenager? No. How old was he? I dare say he was about 70 years old, right? So he was not a young man. Nevertheless, he had arrived at a new chapter of life, whereas until then he was a minister and a follower and a servant under Moses. Now Joshua comes into his own. He was then, if you like to call him, prime minister of Israel. Very important position, isn't it? And there God gives him instructions on how to succeed. So as I studied the life of Joshua, I thought it is good for us this morning to ponder and meditate on what we can learn from his life. And I say, out of the life of Joshua, we can derive the formula for success. We in Singapore are very success-oriented, aren't we? There's no way to survive but to succeed. And we have been told that so often, so long, so intensely, that it becomes part of our system. Joshua is a role model for all of us. If you want to succeed, what is the meaning of Joshua? Joshua means God is help. And it is also the same word as Jesus, which means Savior. So we see in the name of this person a great and significant meaning. We know very little of the early life of Joshua, except just one thing. You know, when Moses was sending the 12 spies to spy out the land, he chose one from each tribe, and out of the tribe of Ephraim, there was this man called Joshua, the son of Nun. And that's all we know about his background, his parentage. He was from the tribe of Ephraim. And out of obscurity, he rose eventually to be prime minister of Israel. Whereas God called Moses to deliver his people from Egypt, God called Joshua to lead them into the land. I say this morning, dear friends, God has work for each one of us. He knows us. He knows what we can do in his hands. You say, I am a nobody. I can't do anything. I say, no, friends, you're mistaken. Joshua was nobody, but God used him because he was willing, ready, available. When the time came, God used him. God must raise servants in every age, in every situation. And I say this applies in Calvary. Dear friends, we have a congregation which is, by normal standards, we say is quite big. I say, please look not at numbers. God does not operate by numbers, but God operates by willing hearts, surrendered lives, people who are willing to say, Lord, I want to serve you. And I say this is something pertinent, relevant, timely for us to think. Who will lead this church in its every department? We have so many departments, so many fellowships, groups. Who will lead in each area? There must be succession. God must raise younger men, younger women, those who are spiritually qualified. Numbers aside, we're not concerned about numbers. We must have God-called men, like Joshua. So God raises a man for a purpose. Joshua, you lead them out of the land, but you cannot lead them into the land. Out of Egypt, but not into Canaan. That job is for Joshua. What an exalted position, isn't it? And yet not so. For we all are but instruments, servants. Joshua had one great qualification to be a servant of God. It is written that he was a man of God. And what is a man of God? How does a person become a man of God? All of us are believers who name the name of Jesus Christ. We come in faith to Jesus and we believe. We are joined with the church in baptism. But are we all qualified to be called a man of God? A woman of God? Joshua was such a man of God in whom is the Spirit of God. You say, of course, I believe. And when I believe, it was only possible because God's Spirit came into me. I have the Spirit of God, of course. No one can be a Christian except he has the Spirit of God. But then, it is said of Joshua, he was a man of God in whom the Spirit of God dwells. Something distinctive. Because he was an obedient man. One who waited on the Lord. One who was conscious of God calling him. One who, like the apostles, as you may say in Acts 6:4, we will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. One who is constantly in touch with God. And such a person was Joshua. I say, dear friends, role model for success in Joshua. I give you 6 titles so that you remember better. All the 6 begin with S. So 6 S's. Joshua was a slave in Egypt. Joshua was a servant of Moses. Joshua was a soldier in the army. Joshua was a spy in the land. And Joshua was successor to Moses. And Joshua was steadfast to the end. So you have here, as a memory aid, 6 S's. We'll look into each one in turn. Joshua, a slave in Egypt. You say, where does it say he was a slave in Egypt? Nowhere does it say. But you must learn to read between the lines. Joshua was one of those who left Egypt as an adult. True? Yes. God's word records he was one of those who were 20 years and above. And he was one of 2 in that group who eventually entered the promised land. All the rest of the 600,000 fell by the wayside, died, leaving their carcasses in the wilderness. How sad. How sad a story. Of all the 600,000 who left, only 2 got into the land, and 1 was Caleb, the other was Joshua. So we must look back. You know, history is a great teacher. If you do not know history, I say you are going to fall badly, making mistakes you ought not to make. We must know history. You must know the history of Joshua. He was once upon a time one of the slaves serving Pharaoh in Egypt. One of those who suffered affliction, groaned with bitterness because life offered them no hope, no future, no escape in the land of Egypt. Every morning is another day of drudgery. Every night, to rest your weary bodies for the next day to start all over again. What a life. And as he groaned, he saw the salvation as God sent Moses. He must have observed. This man Moses, and God put them together and he followed. The thing about Joshua is he never forgot how God delivered him and the rest out of Egypt. Did he not see the plagues? Of course. So did the other 600,000. They all saw the plagues. They all saw how God judged the country of Egypt by killing the firstborn on that night of the Passover. They all went through that. Then they all crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. And then they all ate of the manna and drank of the water in the wilderness. All of them. Only difference is Joshua never forgot these things. They had an impression on his mind so that he was fully one to the Lord. And he lived his life accordingly. God has saved me, and I must follow. He was a man of God. Joshua was a soldier. The first record of Joshua was a man of action. If you please turn with me in Exodus chapter 17, this is the first mention of this man, Joshua. Exodus 17, the armies of Israel were on the move, but an enemy came along and hindered them, would not allow them passage through the land, an enemy called Amalek. Exodus 17, verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Then Moses said to Joshua, "Choose out men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." Verse 10. Here we see the man of action, Joshua. Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. While Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the hill, and there they prayed for victory. Dear friends, here you see Joshua as general of the army. No less. It was a great army, and Joshua was the commander, and he was to fight the Lord's battle. How can he fight? I say, dear friends, you follow the history of the Jews of Israel, even the modern history of Israel, and you will see how God has wrought mighty victories, miraculous. Ever since 1948, they fought five wars. And how God has been merciful to them, that they won, every one. Here is the first one that was fought. Since the people left Egypt, this was a great victory. Verse 13, please see. Joshua discomfited or defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. What a mighty victory. The problem with modern Israel today is they rely on armaments and they rely on America. These two things. Without their armaments, their superior firepower, and their backer, America, Israel will be finished. Now you watch Israel. What the future will bring for Israel are things worth our watching very carefully. But now go back to that day in Rephidim. God won for them a great victory. You believe so? Of course. Look at the mountain, and there are the three men up there praying. When they prayed, God worked. When Moses' arms came down, a significant thing that the prayer was slackening. Then they began to lose. how important it is for men to realize that promotion, victory, cometh neither from east, nor from west, nor from south, but from the Lord. Victory comes by the Lord, by the mercies of God, not by atom bombs, dear friends, not by superior firepower. Now, God had to send a lesson for Joshua to learn. As he went on in life, at every stage, Joshua was learning new lessons. The lesson of Rephidim is in verse 14. Verse 14, the Lord said to Moses, write in a book, don't let this go. A great and significant victory has been won. Then what? Rehearse it in the years of Joshua. It is not for nothing you write, you know. You know, our church has the custom, whenever we reach a significant milestone, we publish an anniversary magazine. Read those magazines. They're not there for fun. They're not just history. But those things are records of what God has done, so that you can rehearse in the years of the upcoming generation. You see, one day when the older ones are gone, and the young ones come in, where do we come from? Oh, nobody knows. We just sprung out of the ground. No. Read those things. God said to Moses, write. Then rehearse. Speak it out. Remind the people. You are a special people. God called you. God's saving you. God is helping you every day. How wonderful. Write down. Read it. I say, friends, let us, you know, in this age, we seldom write letters. Telephone. Everything is telephone. But we ought now all to learn to write letters. Children go overseas, they never get a letter from father because we all taught telephone. Write them godly letters. Rehearse in their years what great things God is doing for us here and what great things God can do for them. So, verse 14 says, the Lord said to Moses, write down so that people can have a testimony in writing that can last and endure. So, Joshua learned a lesson there, you know, verse 14 and verse 15. And Moses built an altar. Moses did not build a monument to say, great victory, this is the victory monument. No. An altar. This is the place where God has blessed us. We will worship Him. This is the altar. And he called the name of it what? Jehovah Nissi. What do you mean by Jehovah Nissi? The Lord, Jehovah. He's our banner. What is a banner? All of you NS boys, soldier boys, you all have a banner. Your battalion has colors. Those are the banners. And surely you're very proud of those banners, aren't you? When they come out, you feel great. And when there is a war, a battle, the banner goes up and all of you search up. Behind the banner, you fight. You fight even if you give your life. It is worth it. Isn't that right? Jehovah, He is our banner. All of you have won a victory. God won the victory for you. Next, Joshua was a servant. No man can be a master and a leader except he learned to be a servant and to be someone subordinate who learns to obey. And here is Joshua, a servant of Moses. Please look at Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. Here the Lord was calling Moses to the mountain to give him the most important document in all time. What is it? The most important document of all time, the only document that God gave, written with his own finger, the Ten Commandments. And God said to Moses, Moses, verse 12, come up to the mountain. I will give you the tables of stone, the law, commandments, which I have written. How wonderful, dear friends. Today we don't have those original stone tables. We have the word of God here, the commandments. Now on that day, God said to Moses, you come, but bring your servant, verse 13. And Moses rose up and his servant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. How good it is for every leader to have an understudy. That's what we need to have. For every leader in every department at every level, you must have an understudy. I say this to all of you. Fellowship leaders, you say I'm exco, very good. Youth fellowship, young adults, adults fellowship. All of us have some leadership position somewhere. Are you training someone as an understudy? When Moses went to the mountain, Joshua followed. And there surely he shared in that responsibility. He shared in the communion with God. And there he learned, we must raise up a next generation. If God should tarry, if there is enough years for us to develop these, but we must, all of us, so that there is a continuing leadership in this church. So that when the older person is gone, there is someone who steps up and says, I'm ready. Joshua was that kind of a person, ready, available, obedient, submissive. He knew who was the chief, Moses. I follow Moses. And he learned from Moses, equipping, preparing for the day. And that day was coming not too long to go. Now we see Joshua as the spy. To be a spy is something, I would say, exciting, something of a test, because it takes a lot of nerves to be a spy. God was sending 12 spies into the land. Please look at the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. Verse 32. These spies, 12 of them, had spent 40 days in the land. What land? In the Holy Land. The land where the fighting is today. The land of dispute. The land of controversy. The Holy Land, Palestine. And they had spent 40 days. What did they see? The faithless spies saw a lot of dangers. And they imagined, and they magnified, and they exaggerated the danger until they were reduced to nothing. So this is what they said. Verse 32. They brought an evil report of the land which they had searched under the children of Israel. And they said, the land is a land that eats up the inhabitants. All the people are of great stature. Verse 33. There we saw giants, which come of giants. And we were like grasshoppers. How sad a picture. You know, friends, when a person is demoralized, he sees himself as a grasshopper. Simply because those people never looked to the Lord. They did not remember the things that had been done for them in Egypt, in the wilderness. All those things that we know, they forgot. And they only saw the dangers, they only saw the enemy, and then in the sight of the enemy, because of their faithlessness, they shriveled up into grasshoppers. In the presence of this, God raised up two men, Joshua and Caleb, who rose up to speak words of great courage and truth. Verse 1 of chapter 14. Numbers 14. At that time, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and they wept that night. How sad. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a nation of adults weeping simply because they were told they had not seen anything? Just because of the report, it was so depressing and demoralizing, they all mourn and wept. And verse 2 says, all the children of Israel murmured against Moses. And what did they say? You can read for yourself, but they say, it's better we had died in Egypt. Why do you let us come and die in the wilderness? We better go back to Egypt. And they even said, let us elect a leader to take us back to Egypt. How sad. Dear friends, this is the state of affairs when those who were to be the source of information for them, the spies, brought back the wrong report. Now you see what Joshua had to say. Joshua and Caleb. Look at verse 6. This is the right picture. This is the correct assessment of the situation. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, which were of them that searched the land, they rent their clothes. What do you mean by this? They were so angry, so worked up. How can this be? These 10 faithless spies, they've given us a wrong picture. And the people are so demoralized, they could not contain themselves. They tore their clothes as an expression of their indignation and their anger. Verse 7. Then they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land is an exceeding good land. Verse 8. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. Verse 9. Only, you see, here is the speech of faith. Only, rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Now, what a different picture. Not giants. We can easily eat them up. They're like bread. We're not grasshoppers, but God is on our side. If God will work for us and we go with his courage and his strength, we can easily finish them up. They're like bread. Oh, dear friends, God must raise up Joshua's in this church. Men and women of courage, men and women of faith to see the situation with eyes of faith. If God has saved us hitherto, all these years, done so much for us, if God has done the greater thing, can he not do the lesser thing? If God has done so much, now the last stage is nothing, not very much. Can God not do it? Answer is yes, but you must have the faith. Joshua was a man of faith. Joshua showed that courage in the face of this danger, and he spoke words of great truth. But what happened? Verse 10. The congregation begged to stone them with stones. What a sad end to the congregation. For that, God punished them. Dear friends, faithlessness and disobedience does not go unpunished. What did God do for those who complained and murmured and cried and wept? Every one of them who complained and rebelled against God and wanted to go back to Egypt, they all, without exception, perished in the wilderness over the course of the next number of years. Total 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. Because of the faithlessness, only two entered the promised land. Only two. Joshua, Caleb. Verse 30. Numbers chapter 14. Doubtless, you faithless people shall not come into the land. You who have been weeping, murmuring, complaining, concerning which I spare to make you dwell therein, you will not come into the land. The land is there, but you will not enter. Except what? Save Caleb and Joshua, only two. Dear friends, learn from Joshua. Learn to be a man of faith and obedience, and God will give you the land. You will enter, but you must have that faith. So we have covered now Joshua as a slave, a servant, a spy. And now we come to successor of Moses. Joshua as successor. As I said, there must constantly be that eye on succession. This church cannot go on. One day, the older one must pass from the scene if God tarries. Is there someone to take the place? Successor was found for Moses. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Time for Moses to go. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Verse 1. Moses went and spake the words unto all Israel and said, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, listen carefully, the Lord hath said to me, you will not go over the Jordan. So, two things. The two things that impressed Moses at this time was, his time was up. He's 120 years old. And God had told him, you are not going to lead these people. Question, if I am not allowed to lead these people, who will lead? The people need a leader to go into the land. Verse 3, the Lord thy God, he will lead thee. He will go before thee, and he will destroy those nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And here is God's provision. Dear friends, where are the Joshuas? Verse 3 says, Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord has said. God hath his men. God prepared Joshua so that when the time came and Moses was gone, there was Joshua to step into the gap. Now let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 34. 34 verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 34 verse 5. So, this is a sad end. Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. God called Joshua that day. God called Moses. Moses, it is time for you. Come up to the mountain. And I am amazed. I'm amazed because he walked up the mountain himself. There's no cable car. There's no one to carry him. All he did was he went up. And there at the top of the mountain, God called him home. How? To his breath. And he slept. And then what happened? God buried him. I say that kind of a going home is most marvelous. Most marvelous. Don't you think so? Verse 6. And God buried Moses in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knows of his sepulchre, where he is buried unto this day. It is his secret. Only God buried him in a place known to him. No one else. Verse 7. Moses was 120 years old when he died. At that time, his eyes were not dim. He didn't have to wear glasses like many of you here. Neither his natural force abated. He walked up the mountain by himself. But it's time up. Time up. You know, it is a wonderful thing. When God calls, you cannot refuse. So when he goes, God had his man ready to take the reins of leadership. How wonderful. Verse 9. Now steps up Joshua. Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, full of the spirit of God, ready for the task. I say again, young man, why won't you give your life to the Lord? Why go into business in the secular world and make your money and make your fame and name? I say, seriously, listen. The Lord's coming is so soon. so soon that many who think they are going to make the world for themselves will not even have the opportunity. It's so soon. So why not spend the last years of your life before the rapture, before the Lord comes, serving the Lord, serving the coming King of Kings, Lord of Lords? Why not? Consider this. Don't wait till the rapture and we are all being taken up at that time, transformed, flying through the air. Ah, I could have done this for the Lord. I could have done that for the Lord. I said, don't. Now you think, before the rapture, you do something for the Lord. Verse 9, Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. Similar to Elijah, handing over his mantle to Elisha, and his spirit fell on Elisha, and Elisha carried on the work after Elijah left. Now Moses is gone. Who is to do the work? Joshua. Because Moses had laid his hands on him, and his spirit came upon Joshua. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him. They obeyed Joshua, even as they had obeyed Moses. Now they obeyed Joshua and did as the Lord commanded Moses. How wonderful. Successor. We need successors, dear friends. Now, on to the book of Joshua. As our time is getting on, flying very fast. Chapter 1. Formula for success. You read for yourselves if you will. If you have time or if you have the memory tonight to read this. But the key verse is verse 8. The key verse to the formula for success, and I give this to all of you here, young and old, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Herein is written all the formula for success. Everything you should do, everything you ought not to do, God has given them fully, written them, documented. It's all available. Are you reading? Are you reading? You say, yes, but don't stop there. Are you doing? It says here, this book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth. Ah, yes. Reading is with the mouth, out of the mouth. But go on, what? Thou shalt meditate. It should go into your head and go on to your heart so that you read with understanding, with appreciation, with assimilation. It's no use to read just like reading anything, newspaper, or reading a novel. No, it's not for that. The book of God is for us to read and meditate. And don't just meditate 5 minutes and say, I've done my meditation. No, friends, you want to be successful. It says here, meditate therein day and night, day and night. Think over what you read. Ponder, pray, and let God's Spirit work His wonderful law into your heart. And then it becomes part of a system. Then what? That you do. Go on, read here. That thou mayest observe to do. Be ye doers of the word and not readers only, deceiving your own selves. Is that so? Read, meditate, and do according to all that is therein. Then comes the result, the reward. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, successful. This is a formula for success. And then thou shalt have good success. Joshua did this. And Joshua led the people forth until he was 110 years old. All these years, Joshua led them. But the best part about Joshua is this. Joshua never tired of following God. There are some Christians who get tired and eventually they fall away. Are you one of them? I pray not. I pray that none here today who follow the Lord Jesus willingly coming to church will continue until the end. That is a proof. That is a test. It's good to begin good and then to go on good.
but you must end good.
At the very end, Joshua proved himself to be a steadfast follower. So, steadfast, the last S. Steadfast Joshua. He followed Jesus to the very end. Joshua 24, chapter 24. The people were wavering. Some had turned to idols. Some had given up the Christianity. What did Joshua do? Joshua called them together. Verse 1. Joshua gathered all the tribes, all the elders, all the heads, all the judges, all the officers, and they presented themselves before God, and then Joshua addressed them. Joshua recalled history again. Look, we are a special people. God has called us. Called the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They came out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees. Then we went down to Egypt. Then God saved us out of Egypt, put us in the land. There is a history you must understand. And for all these things God has done for us, great and mighty wonders and miracles, dare you all go back on your discipleship? Dare you all go back to the idols? For what have your idols done to you? Now, verse 14 is the challenge. Now therefore, fear the Lord. What else can a man who is about to die say? If you are about to depart this world, what do you say to your children? This is it, what he says to his children. Verse 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. The dying words of a man are the most significant, most precious. And serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. And in Egypt, there you served foreign gods. Now serve ye the Lord. Verse 15, the concluding verse. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose. Oh, dear friends, Joshua really did not hold his punches. Here he says, it's up to you. I have done my part. I've told you the truth. Now you choose. And I say the same to all of us here, friends. You choose. God never compels a person to worship him. The Lord Jesus never compelled people with a sword to say, believe on me, or I cut off your head. No. Joshua says, you choose. It is a free choice. God has given you the offer, life and death. Choose life or choose death. Verse 15. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Dear friends, we have come to the end of a most exciting discourse. Formula for success, young people, boys and girls, men and women. What is your formula? Nowadays, there are many crash courses, institutes, seminars. People pay $1,000 just to go for a few lectures and learn nothing. And then they say they're going to get super IQ and do very well. Dear friends, what are you doing about your formula for success? Here it is. Choose you this day whom you will serve. The Lord offers you the way. It is all there. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate therein day and night. And then observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. That is the formula for success for everyone. What pertained to Joshua pertains to us. There is no change. The same formula given by the same God is very powerful because the same God is still powerful today. And he is our God. He's your God. He's my God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, can you say that? Can you say yourself? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and none other, because The Lord is good. The Lord is true. The Lord is real. And the Lord is coming. Let's serve Him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank Thee that Thy word is life and Thy word is truth. Teach us how we ought to love Thy word, to read it, to meditate, and to do according to all that is written therein, that we may all make our way prosperous, and then we all may have good success. Bless Thy people, all who hear. May Thy Holy Spirit bring to remembrance all the wonderful truths. We thank Thee in Jesus' name. Amen.